Well, good morning.
Well, we have a interesting message today, and it's about the mark of the beast, the New World Order. Believe it or not. So, this is one of those topics where there's so much being said about it. There's a lot of conspiracy theories. There's a lot of truth and a lot of untruth. And I wanted to at least take a short time to look at the Mark of the Beast. But let's see what God says about it instead of YouTube or Facebook. Don't you know the internet's of the devil?
Well, used to be if it's on TV or in the paper, it must be true. Yeah. Now it's if it's on TV or in the newspaper, it must be a lie. Almost.
Well, you might remember that Daniel wrote, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. This was prophesied in 537 BC. Move ahead in the calendar up to 33 AD. And Jesus is walking through the square with the apostles, and he says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, which we just read, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. And this is speaking of that time, pretty far on into the tribulation, and he's speaking basically to the Jews, the Orthodox Jews that did not receive Christ as the Messiah, that they should flee to the mountains. And then later on, we move forward in the calendar to 90 AD. Obviously, this is after Jesus had already ascended back to heaven, and John the Apostle is recording a vision that was given to him by God and by Jesus in about 90 AD. And he said, Jesus was telling him, and he causes all to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. 666. And a little bit later in the vision, he writes, then another angel, a third one, followed these other angels, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. So these are a prophecy of the end of the end times. And during this time, there's what we call a new world order. You won't find those exact words in the Bible, but as you read the scripture, you come away with that understanding. Wow, things are going to be different. There's going to be a new world order. And this is that time where it's leading up to that phrase we used last week, where we were talking about the ark in the days of Noah and how God closed the door of the ark. And we said, symbolically, there's a time going to come in the future from now when that same thing happens. The people that are living in the tribulation, that missed the rapture, that did not, that were not part of the church, that were not part of the bride of Christ, that had been raptured to heaven prior to this time that we're speaking about, Mark of the Beast, the people that were left behind, they get something that the people in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, maybe didn't get. They kind of get a second chance. You know, when the flood came and it wiped everything out and the ark took off, there was no second chance. When the fire came down from heaven and torched Sodom and Gomorrah, there was no second chance. But after the rapture, many people will still have a second chance to receive Christ. Unfortunately, you don't know who that's going to be, in case you're counting on that, because you may be one that dies in all of the cataclysm that occurs. We get something else that they didn't get back in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, and that is, we have this. We have it written down in black, white, and red, what's going to happen, who it's going to happen to, and how to recognize when it's going to happen. So you could say we've had thousands of years to come to know what the plan is. During this new world order, there will be significantly fewer people on the earth than there are today. There's approximately 8 billion people on the world today. When the rapture comes, a certain number is going to go to heaven. I have no idea what that number is. It could be a billion, could be half a billion, it could be 2 or 3 billion. Who knows? But there will be significantly fewer people. Moreover, the disasters that happen will reduce the population too. So, to kind of help you think through what that might look like, you know how it is today, how employers just can't find people to work? You know, there's just not people out there. They're either all working, or they're definitely not going to work ever, no way, no how. But there's so many fewer people. Imagine if there was even fewer people, because so many were gone. All right, so I want to open up midway through this seven-year tribulation. So turn with me to Revelation 13. Revelation 13.
I'm not sure I want to be here with the people that are left.
Yeah. Are you there? Revelation 13, hallelujah. So this time period that we're in is midway through the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation. The church has already been taken to heaven three and a half years ago in that rapture. And the man of lawlessness has already been revealed to the world. The seven seals have already been opened. And that seventh seal has seven trumpets. There's seven trumpet judgments. That's already been blown. And we're getting ready for the bowls of wrath, the six bowls of wrath to be poured out. Okay, so that's where we're at. So kind of just try to put yourself mentally there. All right, so in Revelation 13, 1 through 10, it kind of sets up this time with the beast, the first beast, the beast of the earth, and then the second beast, the beast of the sea, and the first beast being powered by the dragon, which is Satan. And there's something very interesting that happens, that gets set up during this time. If you'll, let's see, instead of reading all 10 verses, let's see if we can. Let's start with verse 3. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. So this is that first beast, the beast of the earth. And this is a fake resurrection, a fake crucifixion and resurrection, mimicking what Jesus did. So this first beast appears to get killed on the world stage. Everybody sees it, and then they see him come back to life. It's a false sign and wonder, powered by Satan. And look what it says. And the people of the world that were amazed, and they followed after him and worshiped him. Verse 4, they worshiped the dragon, Satan, because he gave authority to the beast. This is mimicking what God does with the Son, Jesus. God says, I give all my authority to you. Jesus says, the Father has given me all authority. So you see that little mimicking. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him? There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. So we have this second beast that arises out of the sea, and he convinces everybody to worship the first beast. We worship the Father through the Son, through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the one that draws us to do that. So Satan puts together this fake trinity, this false trinity, because we know from way back in time that Lucifer in heaven wanted to be like God. He wanted everyone to worship him. And he was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels. And look at how he just is so crazy with rage that he creates and he mimics the holy things of God to fool the people left behind on the earth. Let's move down to verse 11, chapter 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast. Jesus exercises all the authority of the Father in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. Jesus calls us to worship the Father. He makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. And this is kind of a caution. You know, if you're continually searching for signs in order to cause you to believe, you can easily be deceived by false signs. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many who do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, the freemen and the slaves, all to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. You know, just speaking quickly to that last sentence, you know, haven't we been intrigued as humanity trying to figure out, whoa, who is that? Who is that 666? And I say, who cares? I mean, first of all, we're not going to be here. And secondly, no matter who we think it might be now, whoever he is, when he's revealed, it's going to be very obvious who he is. You won't need to know this special code to know who he is, because he will be ruler of the world. It'll be obvious. So let us not entertain ourselves trying to figure out who that is. So, question. What will this new world order and the mark of the beast look like? Well, the new world order might be described as one man ruling the entire world. He creates one religion. The government and the armies around the world submit to him. The Jews are given favor by him initially, but it's a trick. Commerce is also going to be ruled by him. There won't be globalism that we all fight against. It will be dictatorship. Just think of world tyranny, world dictatorship, one man over the entire world. There will be absolute submission and worship. In other words, if you don't take that mark, and if you don't worship the image of the beast, you don't get to buy or sell. But it gets worse than that. I'll talk about that in a minute. But absolute submission and worship. You know, right now, we have free will. We can say all manner of things against our president if we want to. We can say all manner of things against God or Jesus. But the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will not put up with that. Nations and borders disappear because it's a world dictatorship. The Constitution that we're so enamored with, and we should be, but that will be moot. It will be a moot point. It will not have authority. The freedoms that we have, the liberty that we have, will be gone. So that's just kind of a quick overview, a summary of what the New World Order will look like and how it'll be a little bit different. So asking a handful of questions, like why the mark? Why do you think the beast wants us to have a mark on our forehead or our hand in order to buy or sell? Why a mark? Well, Scripture says that when we're saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a pledge of our salvation. So here again, the beast, the Antichrist, is trying to have a visible mark of who belongs to him. And you know how it is. We as believers, we don't have the eyes of God. We can't see if somebody else is truly born again, right? Well, during the tribulation, during the mark of the beast, it'll be really obvious who follows and worships the beast, because they will have a mark. And if they don't, they better get a mark or they're killed. Why the mark? So it is the absolute force of submission that you will go get a mark or else. Who will be the leaders around the world? Well, as I said, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, will be the main leader, but he will have lieutenants and what have you. And the Bible says in Daniel that there will be 10 nations that are ruling, and then the Antichrist comes up and he wipes out 3 of them. So there will be another 7 nations still sort of in power somehow, but they're going to be under control of the Antichrist. So, our mayors, our governors, our presidents, no power. Who will be the resistance? Who will be the resistance? These will be people that came to their senses finally and put their faith in Jesus and realize their life, their very life, is threatened by other people, by the Antichrist. They will be the resistance, and they will be having to hide out and do things very creatively in order to survive. But they will be resisting what the Antichrist tells them to do. What will the beast followers do? What will they do? They will be trying to carry out the mission of their God, the Antichrist, and one of their missions will be to kill anyone who does not have a mark. They will be trying to get the people that don't have the mark to come in and get the mark, and if they don't, they'll be out to kill them. The beast followers will be carrying out the Antichrist's mission. If you're caught without the mark, the government or the followers are going to kill you. So this is going to create a divide between the followers of the beast and the Christians. You will no longer be able to be safe or trust anyone else who has the mark, even your very own family. They will be under his spell, under his authority, under his power, and they will turn in even their own family members. If you can imagine that, it's so heinous, it's hard to imagine, but you have to imagine what this time of the tribulation is going to be like. We think it's bad now. It's nothing compared to what will happen then. What will those that are saved during this tribulation period, and in fact, the Bible alludes to the fact that there may be more people saved during this time than were before the rapture, because they got some pretty concrete evidence, like you were talking about. You know, God, show us a sign. Well, they're definitely going to have a sign. But what will they do, those that get saved? What will they be suffering under? Just imagine. You're constantly having to hide out. You're having to hide out from your own family. What if your spouse gets the mark and you refuse? You got saved. And you're having to hide out from your spouse, your children. I mean, can you begin to imagine the evil, the fear, the suspicion that you would have for others? You know, those that are saved are going to have to figure out a way to get food and not get caught. You're not going to be able to pull up to the gas station and invisibly get gas. You're going to have to figure out a way, a sneaky way to do that. So in anything and everything you do, it's going to have to be, very secretive. During this time, remember in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, it said the people were eating, they were buying and selling, they were getting married and giving in marriage. Christian marriage will not be going on during this period, as far as I can tell, because who's going to stand up and say, I want to get married in the name of Jesus? You know, there may be some hidden weddings going on in the hidden underground church, but there won't be, you know, all of the websites and all of the, you know, marriage businesses and wedding businesses allowing for Christian marriage. There will probably only be one kind of marriage in the name of the Antichrist. There won't be any parent-led local schooling going on, because it's all going to be under the government's hand. And I would say there probably won't be any schooling, period. And you'll catch on in a moment why. Who will be issuing these tyrannical orders? The Antichrist himself. Not all of the states, not all of the cities, not the counties, not the countries. The Antichrist himself will be issuing all of these tyrannical orders for everybody in the entire world. You will have to have the mark of the beast to buy or sell. And when you do buy or sell, he's going to know about it. In fact, that's one of the issues of blockchain technology today, and this rush towards cryptocurrency. The government has a different vision for it. They want to have it in place so they know exactly what you're spending your money on individually. Won't be hard for the Antichrist to know what you're buying or selling if you're buying and selling. You won't be able to work at a career generally because everybody else at your place is going to have the mark. And if they don't, you know, they're going to be subject to be getting killed. So how are you going to show up to work to a bunch of beast followers and put your life at risk? How are you going to show up to a customer's house, you know, with no mark on your forehead or your hand? So what will be happening is people will be getting their money from the government. The government will want to have them on hook, line, and sinker, supporting them, dependent upon them. And this will come out as an act of charity because so much will be destroyed on the earth physically that so much of the work just plain old won't be there. So if you just think for a moment, if you read in the first few chapters after chapter 6 in Revelation, you start to see how these judgments get rolled out, the trumpet seal judgments. And, you know, today, if we had 8 billion people and maybe a billion people got raptured out, 2 billion, and then it says in the fourth seal that 1/4 of the earth population will be killed. We're talking a billion or 2 billion people. India, you know how big that is? Mm-hmm. That's like 1.3 billion people. Can you imagine a whole continent of people wiped out? Mm-hmm. You know, so remember back in 2005 when we had that big tsunami? Mm-hmm. You know how many people died in that one? Worldwide, it was about 750,000. I think the official number tries to whittle it down to 300 and some thousand. But remember how big a calamity that was at the time and how all the religious leaders were trying to explain what was happening? You know, was this a judgment of God? Was this or that? Was it? That's nothing. 750,000 people. You know, there's going to be many more. Then, in the sixth trumpet, 1/3 of the population gets killed. You can't hide that. It's so monumental that even the news programs, I don't think, will be able to convey the scope of the disaster. So think about that. You know, let's just conceptually say half the people in the Pagosa area are gone. What will life be like? It'll be significantly changed, won't it?
That's traffic.
Ever the optimist. Okay. So, I'm trying to just convey, give you an idea, a rough idea of what life will be like in that new world order during the mark of the beast. Well, next slide. Today, we can see that that's not happening, right? I mean, we haven't lost billions of people in a single event. In a very short period of time. But what is happening now? People, the world, we're being conditioned. We're being trained. Systems, financial systems, governmental systems, technological systems are being developed. You know, many of us are a little bit older in here. We remember a lot of the technology that we use today, just as a matter of our daily schedule, was the fiction of Dick Tracy in the comics. And here we are using it today. You know, the early Star Trek shows, here we are using it today. So things are being developed. It's not yet the mark of the beast. We are not yet in the tribulation. And these conditions, this technology, the systems are being developed that will be a regular part of the New World Order. And let me say that regardless of your politics today, your people and your platform are not going to win. Whatever politics you follow, it ain't gonna happen. It's doomed to go out of existence because the New World Order gets put into place. The Antichrist becomes the world dictator. So those politics will be completely non-existent. And in fact, if you hold some of them, you'll probably be putting your life at risk. So what is happening now? Well, right now, the government is telling us what to do, not the Antichrist, not a world dictator. There's no dictator in some foreign land that's telling us what to do at the moment. The government is the one issuing what I would classify as tyrannical orders. You might appreciate them, but that's how I would characterize them. It is the government right now, not the Antichrist, that is shutting down churches, Christian churches and ministries, and they're doing it via fiat orders. They are, it's the government influencing court decisions and politicizing and secularizing large denominations. So throughout our country, these large denominations of churches are being directed by government orders, not by the Bible. It is the government that's been encouraging people to turn in non-compliant people, to turn in people that aren't wearing masks, to turn in people that aren't getting vaccinated, tracing them, doing this digital tracing of where they go. And we are just so blessed out here in Archuleta County. We're not suffering under this so much, but we're living in a bubble, which is, you know, a good thing. Our elected president is being directed by a non-elected CDC director. And the bribe that we're receiving today is if you wear a mask or if you wear a vaccine, you won't have to do this or that. Well, when the mark of the beast comes, there is no choice. You do it or you're killed. But we've never had a time where the government has had such a heavy hand telling the masses you have to do something like this or else. The government is using and shaping up new viruses, new situations, new emergencies to come up so that they can continue to use emergency powers. And again, this is nothing to this one world tyrannical Antichrist that the tribulation will be under. You've heard of that no-fly list? You know, if your name is on a list, you can't fly? Well, a no-buy list has started. That if you hold certain politics, you get shut out of buying from certain vendors. This is not an America-only issue. That's a false decision. This is a function. It's not a function of our own deep state. This is a worldwide issue. The world is being shaped and conditioned, not just Americans. And it's a globalization of religion and system. This one world religion that's going to come does not include or even tolerate Christianity. It will force the Roman Catholic Church to change and submit. They're the largest religion in the world. And it's already happening. There is a cataclysmic shift going on, and it's emptying out the church. And it's turning world opinion against the things of Christ. Again, we're just setting the stage. The foundation is being built. It is not yet the tribulation. So, does this mean we are in the tribulation? You know, we look at the times and we say, wow, this sounds like what Jesus was saying. Things would get so bad and so evil. Every man's thought would be nothing but evil. Are we in the tribulation? No. And I'll give you one reason, one way to know how that's true. Remember what we read about Daniel's prophecy and what Jesus said. Midway through the week, midway through the 7 years, the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist will stand in the temple of the Jews in Jerusalem, and he will declare himself God, a worldwide God. Has that happened? No. You know why? There is no temple in Jerusalem right now. That temple still has to be built.
Yeah.
And it will be built almost overnight. The Jews in Jerusalem have everything they need to build that temple, all of the hardware, all of the vessels, all of the clothing, all of the candles. They have the cornerstone of the temple building, have everything. Boom, it'll get built. The Antichrist will allow them to begin to redo their sacrifice of the Old Testament, because remember, these are the Jews that did not believe in Jesus. So he will let them put that temple up because he has a plan to stand there midway through that week to declare himself God on that worldwide stage. That's how we know we're not in the tribulation. What will be different? What else will be different during the tribulation? Well, the rapture would have happened already. You know, billions of people gone. The Antichrist has been revealed. He's taken power. He's giving control. He's issuing judgments. The judgments of God are coming on the earth, and they're going to be so pervasive, there will be no doubt that it's from God. In fact, the Bible even says people will be raising their fists against God. They know it's God doing it, and they still refuse to repent. What will be different? The temple, the sacrifice, the shutdowns and the orders by won't be from the government. It'll be from the Antichrist, and it'll be much more pervasive. So, what relevance does that have to us right here? If we're believers and you understand the rapture, we're not going to be here during that period of time. So what relevance does it have to us today? Since we know this is coming, we should be about the Father's work, evangelizing, sharing the good news with others, because we know, come on, we know that the time left is short. We don't know exactly how long it is, but we know it's way shorter than it was 10 years ago, right? Yeah. We should be doing things to make sure our children understand the gospel. We should be doing things to demonstrate the gospel and what the promises of God are, so that we know there's going to come a day when the door of that ark is shut. You know, everybody that's going to be saved has been saved. And why is that? We had that wonderful question last week that I bet you almost everyone in here went home this week and you talked about it. I know Adrian and I did, and Danny, and it was an awesome question. Well, we know from the beginning that God cannot have sin in his presence. So he created humanity to worship him. Remember back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's what his vision was, but man sinned. And now we've had roughly 6,000 years of humanity, of reading his word, to come to understand what it takes to be holy and pleasing in God's eyes, to what it takes to receive eternal life. And every one of us here has our physical lifetime to hear that news and make that decision. It says in Romans 1, that he has made himself known to every man so that there is no excuse for people to know there is a God in heaven. So, we've looked at what life is going to be like during this 7-year tribulation. We've read scripture that says what's going to happen to those who don't receive the mark and to those who do receive the mark. Those who do not receive the mark will be killed, either by the Antichrist or by his followers, or some disaster. Those who take the mark, they will get to live just a little bit longer, a few more years, and they will be killed. Only they suffer the fate of God's eternal wrath. God has given us a very explicit and candid blow by blow. We are without excuse. Everyone here is without excuse. You've heard it in as clear a terms as possible today. You've been directed to the specific scriptures that tell you today. And I can't look at your heart and tell you if you're born again. I mean, Jesus tells us to observe the fruit from the life, from the tree. But it's a personal question and answer between you and God alone. So talk to him. So the purpose of God creating man is so that he can have this whole family living in heaven with him, which will be the New Jerusalem, that there will be no sin, there will be no Satan. How many of you would like to go through the day without being tempted to sin by Satan? Wouldn't that be nice? That's our future. How many of us, when we get done sinning, sin, oh, that sure was great. We won't have that problem in heaven. How many of us say, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. I wonder if he saw. Oh, man, I want to do it again, but I really don't want to do it again. Wow, I'm so tormented. You won't have that. You know, every week, every day, we're praying for somebody's health. We're praying for somebody's healing. We won't have to do that because we're all going to have a new spiritual body. There will be no death. So.
We'll be about 3 years old.
Yeah. So the question is, will you be there? And the answer is yes. If you have confessed your sins and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will be there. You will be there. Amen. All right. Sling the arrows, fire the bullets. Michael.
One thing I want to say, God is always in control, even during the tribulation. We will have 144,000 evangelists, all Jewish, 12,000 from each tribe.
Yep.
Plus, you will have Moses and Elijah, the wailing wall.
Yep.
All these things will be done. God will still be in control, even though the Antichrist is there.
That angel flying across mid-heaven declaring the gospel. Yeah. God is controlling that time period. The judgments and the wrath are from God. Yeah. Anyone else? Alrighty.
Let's all gather up our hands.